Gary Neese with you once again, and my very special guest is Chris LaPlaca, of course, Bonagrad. Everybody knows Chris as one of the, I don't, the founding members, but one of the bricks, many bricks of ESPN for many years, and of course, making that what it is today for, I don't know, how many years were you there, Chris?
43.
Okay.
No one else would hire me, Gary. So.
Well, anyways, you're now doing bigger and better things, and you're back at Bonas doing some things along the way. But I'm going to start this with a story, because this is how I met you, and I remember this from years ago. I had just started, it was 95, 96 that season. My first trip to New York, we play Fordham, and you come over and you introduce yourself, and we have a nice chat. And then I go to my location, and you go to Indy where you had a seat, and I find out later that I have no stats whatsoever. This is before computers, and I remember all this.
Wow.
And they put me up behind the first row of bleachers, and there's no way that I'm going to get the walk-up stats, the timeout stats in time, before I have to go back on the air. And all of a sudden, here comes Chris LaPlaca. He says, "You need some help?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to get my stats only at halftime at the end of the game." And he said, "Give me a tablet and a pen." And you kept points and rebounds for me while I did the game. And I will never forget that. And I will always thank you for that.
Wow.
As an introduction, wow. My introduction to Chris LaPlaca.
Well, Gary, that's what Bonnies do. Right. Mm-hmm. I thank you for telling that story. And now it comes back to me, you know, one night and among many. But I don't look at that as anything any other Bonnie wouldn't have done. Right. So, but thank you for that story. That's awesome.
Yeah. Now you have, as you said, 43 years. There's many stories about ESPN, but there's also many stories about this place. And you have been coming back for years. Kind of, I guess, under the radar, just coming in. Hey, is there anything I can do? Is mm-hmm. there anything you got going on? Anything I can help you with? And not just the athletic department, right to the president's office. And to this day, you continue to do that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I this place is home for me. And I'm one of many, many, many people who can say that and mean it and feel it and live it. So, yes, I have done that. I don't think that makes me special. I think it's special for me to be able to do that. So, yeah, I've been involved in a lot of different things. The Gianduoli School for a mm-hmm. long, long time, on an advisory committee, and they do a sports symposium every 2 years. I've been involved in that almost from the very beginning. I'm back now a little bit in retirement, helping out in a variety of different ways. I have some expertise, you know, and I'm a product of this place. Mm-hmm. So, listen, I want to give Tom Missel a shout out.
Yes.
Tom is a, you have some stories about Tom, mm-hmm. a fixture here on this campus and in this community for a long, long time, a good friend of mine. And he's retiring next year. And he didn't want anybody really to know that. And I might make a big deal of it. But,
yeah, but
as a result,
it's the worst kept secret on campus.
Correct. And so, listen, so, you know, that's going to be a big change for this place. Mm-hmm. And the work I did is similar to the work he and his team do here. So as they prepare for a transition, I'm back and hanging out with them a little bit. And it's been really a lot of fun. It's a great group. We got a lot of great stories to tell on this campus.
Yes. Yeah. And we were talking before this and you know, we all have Tom Missel stories. and there's two that stand out to me. And the one was there used to be a time when I was covering Bonaventure, not doing play-by-play, but covering them for the other stations I was working for at the time. And sitting next to me on one side was Mike Vaccaro, who was working the Bonaventure. He was the editor of the Bonaventure. And on my other side was Tom Missel as the beat writer for the Times Herald. Tom had just had moved into the area and said, "Here you go." Chuck hired him, and we sat. In the first game we sat together was the Concordia game. If you look in the record books, that's the most points the Bonnies ever scored in a game. They scored 134 points.
Wow.
Now, you got to realize Concordia was Division III.
Mm-hmm.
Concordia scored 109 against a Division I defense.
Yeah.
And I remember we're all just kind of looking at each other going, "What did we just see?" And I looked at Tom, who, you know, this was his beat. This is what he did. And I said, "Tom, you know, the 134 points is great, but I said, I feel sorry for you. And he goes, why? And I said, because I don't have to go all of these games. I said, I just come to the home games. You've got to cover every game this team's going to do this year. And he just hung his head, and he goes, you're right. It was not a good season.
No.
But soon after, things got much better. Jim Barron took over the program, got it back to prominence, got us back to the NCAA. And then Tom, of course, beat Ryder, and he made the move over.
Right
to St. Bonaventure, and has been just a tremendous person for this university.
I truly agree with that, and not just because he's a pal of mine, but because I've seen up close and personal the dedication he brings. He's a wealth of institutional knowledge. He cares deeply about the place and the people, and so we're going to miss the guy when he's gone. But nothing stays the same.
No,
he's deserved, you know, his next stage in life, and so. I'm sure everything will all go well for everyone involved.
So you are part of the team that's now getting set for the post-Tom Missel era.
Well, I'm a resource for them as they kind of figure it out. And mm-hmm. and higher education has changed significantly in the last really at warp speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a president and Jeff Gingrich who understands that, and a cabinet who understands that. Tom's on that cabinet, and so things are great right now. And I think that group wants to make sure they continue to be great in the midst of all this change. And we have the people and the vibe and the culture to kind of achieve all that. And look, I'm hanging around. I retired 2 years ago. So I got a call. Can you help us out a little bit? I said, sure. And it is a chance to come home, as I say.
Yeah. And it's not just athletics. So you get a whole bunch of people from different areas of life, different areas of the campus who do that. And we all know several people who have retired or just said, okay, they did so much for me. It's my turn to give back. I think that's what really special about St. Bonaventure, because there are more people than you know that do this.
Exactly. And so I happen to be sitting with you right now. But you could probably find five other people without too much trouble who could have the same conversation for all the same reasons, doing different things. I'll tell you a story, Gary. I had people on my team that I worked with at ESPN, Power Four schools. On my team alone, Wisconsin, USC, Virginia, Michigan State, a couple others. And I'd come back from Bonnie games and weekends on this campus, and I would tell them stories, and they would look at me with jealousy in their eyes, because, geez, we don't have any of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to kind of, you know, I'm a Jandoli grad, and I sometimes don't have the right words, and we all struggle with, what is it that brings us back, and what is in the air and the water and here? But it crosses generations,
mm-hmm.
and it's real. And we now talk about it amongst ourselves a lot more than maybe we used to. Maybe we took it for granted. But it is one of the things that I think will sustain us going forward. Not everybody has what we have. And people think of saying, well, you're small, Western New York or whatever, but we're big in so many ways. And one of them is what you and I are talking about right now, the idea that we have accomplished alumni everywhere you look, making their way in the world and making the world actually a better place, how they show up, and then coming back here to make sure the next generation gets to do the same thing. And that's really special. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, here's something you just brought to mind. Chris and I, during the ball game, we're able to look at a map to see who was listening online to us. And it's a worldwide map. And it's amazing to see where people are listening. You know they're Bona grads or have some affiliation with St. Bonaventure. Japan, we had somebody in Sydney, Australia, one game.
That's awesome.
India.
I didn't know that.
Was it Wasilla, Alaska?
Yep.
On the last game. But, you know, middle of nowhere, the only thing out there, there's one regional airport and a bunch of bears and moose. You know, there's not much to Wasilla. But, I mean, it's amazing to see where people are listening to Bonaventure basketball, and you know that they've got some affiliation with mm-hmm. the university. Mm-hmm. They're either on business or whatever, you know, maybe an ex-student or someone, or like a basketball. We have so many European basketball leagues and players for the played at Bonaventure.
That's a really good point.
So they're you know peppering all over Europe and Andrew in Korea, you know. So but we look at that map and say, there's a Bona guy, there's a Bona person, there's a you know, it's worldwide.
I gotta tell you a story, a couple stories. I think there's an idea I have somewhere, a campaign or a hashtag or something. The idea that Bonnies are everywhere. And I'll tell you a quick story. I was in West Hartford, Connecticut. I was meeting with a former colleague at a coffee shop, and I was facing the front of the coffee shop, had a big picture window in the front, and this guy walks by as I'm having this conversation, and I think nothing of it, a guy walking on the sidewalk. Then he comes back, starts jumping up and down, points to his sweatshirt, same bottom of your sweatshirt. I don't know this dude, but he knows me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wave him in, but he already left. I went on the Facebook alumni page and said, latest example of Bonnies are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
About 50 people had their own story of a similar kind of deal.
Oh, sure, sure.
And for a small place, we're big in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of that.
Yeah.
I have three daughters. The youngest is a senior in high school. She goes to a boarding school 30 minutes from our house, day student. She wore a Bonnie sweatshirt to school one day. In 4 hours, three people. A grandfather said, I went there. A kid mm-hmm. said, my cousin went there. And another guy said, my dad went there.
Mm-hmm.
Three people in 4 hours in Wallingford, Connecticut. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it happens. Walk through an airport,
right.
and somebody's grabbing me, or you know, go Bonnies, or you know, and I heard somebody one time whispering behind, that's the voice of the Bonnies. And I turned around, and it was a friend of mine who was coming back, and she was explaining to her friend who I was. So it's you know. Always wear something Bonaventure when you're walking through an airport. Somebody is going to go Bonnies.
It's kind of amazing. By the way, you are the voice of, and your voice is so distinctive. I don't like my voice on tape. You know, you're going to be 10 times better than you really probably already are, because compared to my voice in this podcast, this is probably a mistake by you, Gary.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the Gianduli School. We talked to Aaron Chimble a couple of games ago, and he's talking about the new events that are the new curriculum coming to the Gianduli School. Talk about that, because it's you know, I told him I saw my radio book when I went to college back in 1974, looked at the first page, threw it out, because it's, you know, so many, there's nothing in that book that relates to what radio or broadcasting is anymore.
Right. I have to tell you, Aaron, I was on the selection, the committee for, Mike Vaccaro and I were the outsiders, but the alums who worked, and it was clear amongst the faculty and the people on that committee and Mike and I, as we sat over in the boardroom in the administration building, that Aaron was the guy. We were hoping we could get him. And we did. And he's been great ever since. And a visionary guy and down-to-earth, hardworking, came from the field. Mm-hmm. And so he understands what you need. And I think academia has kind of moved in that direction a little bit. A good mix of theory and with practice. And we've got a great faculty over there that all of them have that. And it's great. And he has certainly been visionary in terms of where's media. The media, you guys know this. The media business is moving so quickly and expanding in so many different directions. It is hard to stay in front of that. But I would tell you that the faculty over there, led by Aaron, are doing that. And I've been involved with Gianduli in a variety of ways, as I've already mentioned. And so I've been kind of present within that group. So I've seen it firsthand. And then I come back and I talk to the students, and man, I thought I was cool when I was them. I can't even hold a candle to what they're doing now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because of the infrastructure and whatnot that Aaron and the team have built.
Yeah, they've done a great job over there, and you know, there's so many other parts of this campus that are growing. Dr. DePiro getting health science onto this campus.
Amazing.
Huge. And getting the Walsh building before that, the science building, and the business, the Swan Business Center. These are all in the last 15 years. This took a while to get them, a lot of fundraising, but now that they are up and operating, they're fantastic.
Well, it's so encouraging as an alum to come back and see these things and see the place grow over time. It's not an accident. I you know, we had a conversation yesterday, a few of us, about, well, bottom etcher is small and we punch above our weight. But to me, in that conversation, we all kind of agreed the reality is we have earned the right to have high expectations here. Mm-hmm. And because look at, you just listed all the things that are happening. Aaron got a big grant to go digital. Dr. Bannock in the health profession got a big grant from rural healthcare. That's a thing in our society. We're going to fix that in this region because of people like Dr. Bannock. And so we probably should not take any of that for granted because it happens so often. Either, yes. Oh, there's another thing we did. But it's kind of, take a step back and look at it, and it's really incredible. We have a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, and the one thing we talked about early in the basketball season, 3,000 students now, if you count grads and mm-hmm. undergrads. Mm-hmm. 3,000, I used to have a stat on my game notes about the smallest Division I school,
right?
Population wise, you can't say that anymore. We're not in the bottom three anymore. We literally in the last 10 years doubled the amount of students attending class, either online, but a lot of them in person.
Well, I have to tell you, none of that is an accident either. That's part of a strategic plan. Dr. DePiro engaged in, and Dr. Gingrich is accentuating and evolving, and we had a cabinet here that is driving things, you know, and the faculty is really, really terrific. I was a visiting professor here for 2 weeks under a program that they have, and so I actually was in it for a couple of weeks, and I saw the dedication and the energy and the desire to kind of innovate and whatnot. And I will tell you, I think our size is an advantage. It's tough to turn a battleship on a dime. It's mm-hmm. easy, but you can't. It's impossible. But when you're smaller, you can be nimble, and you can maybe do things more quickly. And if you got a good idea, you can go make it happen. And I know Dr. Gingrich and the cabinet are very focused now about how we continue to evolve and maybe perhaps at a bit more of a rapid fashion, just to stay ahead of the changes that are happening have nothing to do with what we're up to. It's happening to everybody. You got a decision to make, how you're going to react to it. And we've got the right people deciding we're going to try to work hard to stay ahead.
Mm-hmm. And all of this, with all the modern things going on, new buildings, the Franciscan values are a constant.
I think that's one of the things that make us special, in all honesty. You learn here how to show up the right way in the world. And one of the, Father Stephen said the other day to me, Minma, the head of mission here, the Franciscans might not be in every meeting the smartest people in the room. Many times they are, but they're always the kindest. That mixture of intelligence and humanity and kindness, don't mistake it for people who don't want to achieve or don't want to, you know, do big things. But doing them in the right way is really, mm-hmm. really important. So you see all of our alumni out there doing things the right way in so many different disciplines. And that, we have to figure out a way to tell that story better. We all know it. We need the world to know it. And that's, I think we'll get there.
Yeah, a little bit of a story, the little engine that could.
Right.
If you wanted to do a little fairy tale description of St. Bonaventure, I think that would be a perfect say.
I agree, but I have to tell you, like ESPN was that in the early days. Nobody
yes.
gave us a shot.
Yeah.
We were sports fans serving other sports fans. We thought we'd get there. We just needed to find the right business model, and finally we did. And then we weren't the little engine that could anymore.
Right.
We were the big dog and remain that. It's a neat trick to kind of start small. No one gives you a shot. Get the lead and never give it up. That's kind of, and we weren't always playing Concordia. I mean, it was hard for us to do that. You know. But I would look at St. Bonaventure in the same way. Again, I would not mistake our size for our heart is big. Our desire to do big things is big, I think you're seeing that. You just gave a litany of things that have happened over the past X
right.
many years on this campus, and we're not done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to keep going, and so I know Dr. Gingrich is focused on how do we, become a place where AI, where you learn how to live with it, not just use it to teach and learn, but how to use it properly in the world, you know, because that is where we're headed.
Oh, yeah.
And he's planted that flag, and I don't think we're done in the health professions. Jan Doley's building an unbelievable new building. It's going to be incredible. And they were going to do it in stages, but Aaron and the team did such a good job with the fundraising that they're going to start to do all of it because we're almost there. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes the norm around here, which is really great.
Yeah, but it's and again, you talk about that, but there are a whole bunch of determined people on this campus to get things done and to do it right. And I think that's what makes it special.
I like what you're doing with this podcast, too, because, you know, athletics in many ways is the front porch to the university. I think that's why Dr. Gingrich and Bob Beretta and others decide our trustees, yeah, we're going to opt into the house settlement because we need a vibrant athletic program and led by men's basketball to kind of be the front porch. And then once you get in that front porch, you're going to be able to tell the other stories. That's what you folks are doing, and I think it's brilliant.
Right. Well, we could spend another 3 days probably talking about stuff and swapping stories and naming names. But again, it is a pleasure always. Every time I meet you, it's always a pleasure because there's always something new that we can talk about.
Exactly, and Gary.
So I mean, it is fantastic. And for a couple of old guys, we still do pretty good.
I'm with you. And I got to tell you, you told that story at the beginning. I don't know if you know this. I'm not that good with numbers. I probably screwed up the points and rebounds. But no one knows.
But no one knows because that's all I had. Well, Chris, thanks again. And we wish you success and health and happiness as you continue your life's journey.
Same to you and everyone listening.